You're listening to Cincinnati Edition. I'm Mark Purcell. Thanks for tuning in this morning. A new book in bookstores now tells the history of Rabbit Hash, Kentucky. Rabbit Hash, Kentucky, Riverborne, Kentucky Bread is written by Donald Clare. He is the president of the Rabbit Hash Historical Society and a local historian, and is on the phone with me this morning to tell you more about the history of Boone County's most celebrated river town. Good morning, Donald.
Good morning, Mark.
I wanted to begin because I sort of got the hint from the book that you became the president of the Rabbit Hash Historical Society, or at least the resident historian, by default when your friend Louis Scott was buying the general store down there.
Right. Louis bought the whole town one piece at a time. I mean, it's almost like that Johnny Cash song about the Cadillac.
Yes.
So he wound up acquiring 6 or 7 buildings and a couple of lots, just one at a time, until he had the entire town. And you're right, the first building he bought, and he was cleaning it out and filling the dumpster. And I said, "Louis, you can't throw that out. That's historic." He goes, "Well, Claire, then you be in charge of historic, and I'll be in charge of cleaning this building." Because he wanted to use it for a wood shop because he was building a house there. So that's how the Rabbit Hash Historical Society got started. I'd go down there on weekends and, you know, help out and hang around. I'd pick out of the dumpster the things I thought were neat and historic, and eventually we put some articles in the back room of the general store and tried to make a little museum.
Well, was it a critical mass of all this information and stuff coming in from the old timers that prompted you to write the new book, Rabbit Hash, Kentucky, Riverborne, Kentucky Bread?
Yeah, wooden town on the banks of an inland river that's constantly inundated, you know, with floods and ice. There wasn't much written or recorded history left because, you know, most of that stuff got lost in floods. So that's what I wanted to do. At that point, I thought, well, I'm going to try and write a history of this place, but, you know, I'm going to need to find out information. So over the years, we got a collection of pictures and articles and, you know, just whatever we could, and that's how I pieced it together. So this has been a work in progress for 30 years, and I'm pretty well convinced that it's a very accurate history of the early history of that area.
And there is that's one thing I was struck by while I was reading the book, is Rabbit Hash has been around for a long time.
Yeah, it has. The store building was built in 1831, and the town, the name of the town actually originated in the 1847 flood. So it's got quite a history. Boone County's got 35 miles of river frontage. So, you know, during the settlement period, when people came down the Ohio River and found places to settle, naturally they started, you know, their homesteads on the riverbank, and because the good bottom land for farming. And eventually they realized that they'd get sick every summer with fever. It was called the ague, A-G-U-E, and that was from mosquitoes. So they realized that living down here in these bottoms aren't really healthy. So that's when they started going upland and inland. And, you know, I think that's how your town got Mount Healthy. You know, it was up high on a hill and not down in the bottoms where the mosquitoes are. But when they first settled, they would naturally settle where there's a good water source and good bottom land for crops. And, that's how this area became settled first. It was a rural agricultural community.
You know, it was interesting, you know, having been to Rabbit Hash and enjoyed it, I didn't realize how closely related Rabbit Hash was with Rising Sun, Indiana, just across the river. And back in the day before the locks and dams were there and the river was made navigable, Rabbit Hash and Rising Sun were almost the same town.
Yeah, exactly. In the summer, you could wade across the river, walk across. It was like crossing the street, and people from here, you know, they'd go over there and go to the doctor, or a lot of the kids went to school over there. Some of the women actually worked there every day. There were little canning factories and places that the women worked, and sometimes the river during the winter would, you know, it was not that deep, as you said, it would freeze over. You could actually drive across. And it wasn't until in the 60s when the locks and dams raised the level that, you know, Rabbit Hash finally realized, hey, I guess Rising Sun is in a different state. You know, now the channel on the Ohio River is deepest over on the Indiana side, and that's why what made all the steamboats, you know, they had to land on the Indiana side, because on the Kentucky side, right in front of Rabbit Hash, is just a giant sandbar, and it was so shallow the boats couldn't get in. So naturally, the town over there developed, you know, much quicker, and left Rabbit Hash kind of in the dust as far as, you know, developing into a big town.
Well, you've been working on this for 34 years, at least been involved with it for 34 years. And as you were putting together this new book, Rabbit Hash, Kentucky, Riverborn, Kentucky Bred, was there any little nugget you found that was something you hadn't heard from the old-timers telling tales in the store? Something that really surprised you?
Yeah, there was probably several little things. The biggest was that, you know, when we come to naming the town, I finally got the real story about how Rabbit Hash got its name. And before this, there were some tales out, you know, and you look up Rabbit Hash and these books of funny names and stuff, and the stories were just, well, ridiculous. They were just myths. So one of my goals was to just dispel those myths and get the real story. And I was able to find that. There was a local here named William H. Nelson, and he was a blacksmith and a school teacher, and eventually he was also a journalist in a Lawrenceburg newspaper, and then he worked with the Rising Sun newspaper. This was probably in the late 1890s. And he wrote a book, well, more of a booklet, a little story, called The Buried Treasure. It was The Buried Treasure, A Rabbit Hash Mystery. And in the very end of the book, he wrote a 2 or 3 page thing about how Rabbit Hash got its name. And I included it in the book. I don't know if you read that.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to give it away, though. I was going to make folks read the book to find out.
Yeah, I'd like them to find out for themselves, too. But I think that was the most interesting, and I was really, really pleased to find it and find something that was genuinely true. It was 1870s, I think, when the U.S. Postal Service decided that, you know, the town was really called Carlton before they had adopted the real name Rabbit Hash. And 35 miles down the river is Carrollton, Kentucky. So when you got a Carlton and a Carrollton so close together, there is a big mix-up with getting the mail to the right place. And finally, the Postal Service said, all right, this is enough. You guys need to change your name. And, of course, they jumped on it because they, you know, it's a no-brainer, because we have been calling this place Rabbit Hash ever since 1847. So it's a neat story, I think.
Well, plenty of neat stories here in the book, and I appreciate you sharing a few of them this morning, Donald.
My pleasure. I really hope people would take an interest and give it a try. It's a good book, and I think it's, you know, as accurate as we could get it, especially, you know, trying to tell the history of a place that basically lost all of its recorded history.
Well, fine job done. Donald Clare, the author of Rabbit Hash, Kentucky, Riverborne, Kentucky Bread. It's printed by the History Press and is available where books are sold. You can find a link to it at our website, wvxu.org. And, of course, Rabbit Hash just around the corner down there in Kentucky if you want to go visit.